unless you're a camper, what I'm about to say won't make any sense to you. But for all you campers, I want you to notice something. I'm representing. I feel like doing a mic drop right now. Purple power. Purple predators. Hey, listen. Don't be haters. What have I taught you up here this week? Don't be haters, right? And cheaters never what? Lose, right, okay. Some of you parents are saying, is this guy really up here with my kid? Yeah, I am, sorry. Hey, some of you older people will know what this is. Some of you young people will not understand. Now, how many of you remember the Wheel of Fortune? Pat Sajak. Okay, Pat Sajak had an accomplice, right, or a partner that helped him out. Who was that? Vanna White. Let me show you what I've got. Come here, Vanna. This is my Vanna White.
Hubba, hubba. Woo!
It's pretty ugly sight, too. I'm sorry. Hey, you forgot to get yes, we won. I want to start off with a little illustration. Buster's going to help me with a little illustration. And I don't want you to get afraid, okay? But I will say this. Don't try this at home. Okay, y'all got that? Don't try this at home. And this is one of those things, hey, y'all, watch this thing, okay? All right. Buster's lighting over here. If you can't hear that, you'll hear it in a minute. He's lighting a torch. Now, I want you to understand something about this torch. This is real, okay? This is a real live torch. It is 1,200 degrees. You notice the blue flame, right? It is 1,200 degrees. Now, I am going to take my hand and I am going to stick my hand in that torch for 10 seconds. And I want y'all to count to 10 when I do this. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm going to do this. Okay? Okay? Got it? Y'all ready? You gonna count? No, it is real. It is real. Alright, ready? No, there's no way I'm gonna do that. You turned off. Yeah, it's real. See? See, it's real. You know, I'm not afraid of that flame. As long as Buster's got it in his hand and he's carrying it around, I am not afraid of that flame whatsoever. But let me tell you this. Listen to me. If I would have stuck my hand in that, what I'm afraid of is the pain that is associated with that flame. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk to you. This week we've been talking about being fearless. And I want to talk to you tonight about some things. Some of you are not going to like me afterwards. Some of you probably already don't, but that's okay. But I'm going to talk to you straight from the heart. And I want to talk to you about some things that I want. It's not a lesson on learning. This is not a lesson about learning. Okay? I doubt very seriously if you'll learn anything. But campers, I want you to take these scriptures that we're going to look at tonight. I want you to write them down. I want you to make sure what I'm telling you is the truth. And if it's not, I want you to come and tell me. But I want you to write these things down. This lesson tonight is not going to teach you anything. It's a warning. Okay? You with me? It's a warning. A warning. Okay? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to be able to be here. Father, I pray that you'll help me be able to present this message for you. Father, I pray that it will please you. But Father, give me the strength and the courage to be able to present these things that I want to present tonight. Speak through me, your words. And Father, if there's someone here tonight that this word falls upon their heart, let their heart be soft. Let it be soft and let that seed be planted. And Father, I pray that each person here tonight will take what you're saying hide me behind the cross as I presented this lesson. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Tonight what I want to do is I want to look at the role that fear plays in our salvation. And then I want to finish up the lesson by showing you the role that love plays in our salvation. If you are a Christian, what motivated you to become a Christian? Was it fear or was it love? If it was fear, what is it that you were afraid of? Maybe you were afraid of God's wrath. We always are talking about the wrath of God, the punishment that God's going to deal out to those who are disobedient. Is that what caused you to act upon your faith? You were scared of God's wrath. Maybe you were scared of dying. Maybe that's what caused you to want to obey the gospel. You were afraid of dying. Maybe it wasn't even that. Maybe it was that you were afraid of hell. You know, I was raised up in the church in the era where they preached those hellfire and brimstone sermons. We don't preach them much anymore because people don't want to hear about hell. If you don't want to hear about hell, you don't need to be here tonight. We're also going to talk about heaven. But hell is real. As real as I'm standing here before you, hell is real. And we need to understand that it's real. Is that what caused you to act upon your faith? Look at what the Bible has to say about hell. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, the Bible refers to hell as a lake of fire. A lake of fire. Can you imagine that? A lake of fire? In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus Himself. Do you know Jesus preached and talked about hell more than He did heaven? He said in Matthew 25, He said that hell was an outer place, a place of outer darkness, where there was constant weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but I can't stand to hear people grind their teeth. You know, think about hell is utterly darkness. You can't see anything. And there's nothing but just weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, it refers to it as an unquenchable fire. Today, we've been up here at camp, and we have roasted today. And we have longed for that sun to start to set so that we could get a little bit of relief from this heat. But in hell, church, there is no relief. If fear is what caused you to obey the gospel, If your faith is fear-based, I want you to understand something. Your faith is very shallow. I'm telling you these things tonight because I love you and I love your souls. I look out and all I see is souls. I don't see young people. I don't see old people. I don't see middle-aged people. I see souls. But if your faith is fear-based, it's shallow. You see, because if your faith is fear-based, then it's not going to last. Before long, you're going to start to see how you're not attending church services like you used to. You know, maybe you stop going on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Some of you know this. I fell away from the church for a number of years. And you know where it started? Sunday nights. They just wasn't important. I mean, I'd already been that morning. I didn't have to go back. We were going to do the same thing. But I quit going on Sunday nights, and before long, it wasn't Wednesday nights. And then before long, there was no place in my life for God. Thank goodness He shook me and woke me up. And that's exactly what He did. But if your faith is fear-based, it's a temporary faith. Because it's not your enthusiasm, your enthusiasm and excitement for the Lord is not going to last. I worked with teenagers for over 12 years, and I would take them to youth functions. And David, you've done this before. I know you have. Working with kids, I love teenagers. I have a very special place in my heart for teenagers. But when you would work with them, you'd take them to these events, and they would come back, and they would be on fire for the Lord. But then, 2 weeks later, where are they? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be seen. Because their faith, perhaps, was fear-based. It was only a temporary faith. If your faith is fear-based, your Bible study will start to go away. Your prayer life will be non-existent before you even know what has happened to you. The relationships that you've made within your youth group, within your church, will soon suffer because your faith is fear-based. Fear causes us to be so concerned that we're going to do something wrong. Have you ever felt this way? I have. Have you ever felt like God has drawn this invisible line in the sand? And we know that if we sin too much or if we do certain sins, that God's going to condemn us. But in our minds, we don't know where that line is that God's drawn. So we do nothing. See, fear will cause us to be concerned that we are going to do something wrong and lose our faith. And what we wind up doing, church, is we wind up walking around on eggshells because we're afraid God's going to punish us for something. That He's going to come down with that mighty thumb and it's just going to squash us. Do you feel like tonight, do you feel like that your salvation just always needs work? Do you feel like being a Christian is hard? Do you feel like that it's tiresome? If you feel that way, you're not living the Christian life that God's outlined for us in this Bible. Okay, you go back and read that little bitty book of Philippians, and that man was in a prison cell. And you remember what he said? If you don't, here's what he said. Rejoice. So if you feel like that Christianity is just too hard, you don't want any part of it, then it's not as prescribed in Scripture the life that you're living. Fear will prevent us from enduring tragedies in our life that's going to come. Tragedy's going to touch all of us. Sometimes we may even feel like when something bad happens to us, well, that's just God paying me back. You feel abandoned. Don't raise your hand, but is there someone here tonight that feels like God has abandoned them? In a crowd this large, I would almost guarantee you there's someone here that feels like God has abandoned them. He's turned His back on them. Someone here tonight is feeling like, well, life is just not fair. It's not fair that I have to go through this. God is punishing me for something that I did. You know, I get all that. I understand that. I've had those emotions as well. But you know, I just can't connect my faith to fear, though, because to me, it cheapens my faith. It's almost like making a business relationship or a business partnership with someone instead of a meaningful relationship with the Lord. And that's what He wants. He wants that meaningful relationship with us. Maybe the fear of hell was motivating you, and then one day you went to church. When you rolled into the church, the preacher was preaching at this passage right here. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. And the preacher began to preach on this particular passage of Scripture here. And you had that light bulb moment. Have you ever had that light bulb moment where it just all works, it comes together? And on that particular day, the preacher was preaching on this, and you begin to understand what it was that God wanted from you. Follow along with me in verse 25. What are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! where you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Verse number 28 there, it says, even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You see, the preacher began to preach on this particular passage, and it all came together. You finally realize what it is that God wants from you. And you know what it is that God wants from you and from me? It's not the works. It's not so much the Bible reading and the prayer. That's important. It's not so much sharing the good news of Jesus with others. That's important too. It's not so much about what we look like, how we present ourselves in a church setting. What God is most concerned about with you and with me is this right here, your heart. He's concerned about the condition of our hearts. There are some of you here tonight, your heart is hard. It's black. You've already turned me off. Probably when I said, hello. But do me one favor. Okay? Do me just one favor. Turn it back on for just a moment. Because if you're here and your heart's hard, God's concerned. I'm concerned. You see, God wants love to be the motivating factor instead of fear. The text that Tim had given to me to cover tonight is found in 1 John chapter 4. And I want to read that real quickly because it really kind of drives home the final point that I'm going to make. But I want to go and read it now in my lesson. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in the love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. First of all, that word perfect does not mean perfect like what we use today. It means mature. You've grown up in God's love. Now I want to ask you a serious question. And I believe it was Stephen that referred to this the other night in our debate. But if you were to die tonight, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Folks, I want you to understand there's two choices, and only two. Where would you go? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? See, the Bible tells us very plainly in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27, that it's appointed for man to die once and then comes the judgment. You know, maybe you've never even thought about that question. Maybe you think about that question constantly, but you think, well, if I ignore it long enough, it'll go away. Church, it won't go away. It's going to be there. If something happened to you tonight, where would you go? Why don't we like to talk about death? Well, there's a number of reasons. Death is a morbid subject. Gloomy, it's depressing. We don't like to talk about it. It makes us uncomfortable. It's the fear of the unknown. There's not a one of us in here tonight who has died. We don't know what really happens, you know, what our bodies go through. We've seen it, I've seen it, you've seen it. But it's the fear of the unknown. Like so many of you, I learned about death as a small boy. I had a dog, a collie dog, when I was a little boy named Lassie. Y'all remember the TV show Lassie, don't you? I had a collie dog look just like her. She was beautiful. A friendly dog. I love this dog. I admired this dog tremendously. But we noticed one day that Lassie was beginning to get this large spot on her side. And my dad was not one to just, back in the day, he was raising four kids and, you know, he was doing everything he could to put food on the table. He was not one to just run them down to the veterinarians like I do my dog today. He gets better health care than I do. But my dad was not one to carry him down, but Daddy knew that there was something really wrong with Lassie, so he took Lassie down to the veterinarians, and my dad came back home without Lassie. And I ran out to the car to meet my dad to see where Lassie was, and my dad said that Lassie had to be put to sleep. She was so sick that she had to be put to sleep. You know, I didn't know what put to sleep was. Well, Daddy, she'll wake up, she'll be fine. My daddy had explained to me, kind of like what Jesus did to his disciples. No, son, Lassie's dead. And here I was, just maybe a 7-8-year-old kid, and it broke my heart. And I ran in and I put up pictures of Lassie all over the headpost of my bed, Buster, because I love that dog. And I had those pictures up there to remind me of Lassie. Now, death touched me like it did many of you at an early age. As life went on, I've lost all of my grandparents. I don't have any grandparents left. God's blessed me, though. I still have my mom and dad. Their health's not the greatest in the world, but I still have them here. Now, I've experienced death. I've experienced death of friends and loved ones. You've experienced it. There's not a person in here that death has not affected us in some shape, form, or fashion. But I want to share with you tonight a time, and I'm going to do my best to make it through this, a time that death really touched me and my family. When death came knocking on my home's front door, it was in 2004. It was in September. My wife and I got that phone call, you know, that nobody wants to get. And on the other end of the line, it was a state trooper. And he asked me, did I have a daughter named Candace? And I said, yes. He said, Mr. Richardson, you need to get to Vanderbilt as quickly as possible. She has been involved in a car wreck. And I said, okay, is she okay? He repeated, Mr. Richardson, you need to get to Vanderbilt as quickly as possible. She's been involved in a car wreck. I'm no dummy. I knew what that meant. I knew that she had to be picked up by Life Flight. They don't pick you up for just to put a Band-Aid on. I knew that. So my wife and I made our way from Murfreesboro to Nashville, and I believe that was the longest drive I've ever had to take. And we walked out the door, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but she lasted 5 days in Vanderbilt at ICU, and I lost her. But it's okay, because I stood at the bed, and I made her a promise. And I'm fulfilling that promise tonight. I don't want you to feel sorry for me either. I'm fulfilling that promise to her tonight because I told her, I said, Candy, I'm going to use what happened to you to make a difference in someone's life for Jesus. I know what death is. I know what death is. 2010, I did a wedding ceremony for my niece, my and Mary's niece, Brittany. We have twin nieces. And we're baby A, baby B. That's what her mom wanted. But I did Brittany's wedding ceremony. I think in December, I don't know where my wife is. That was in 2010, but I do know this. In March 2011. In March of 2011, I did Brittany's funeral. She died in a car wreck. She moved to Kentucky and she was coming home. And she was killed instantly. I know what death is. If you don't believe this passage in the Bible, come talk to me. Death is real. But I know what you're doing, you teenagers, you young people, you're sitting there and you're looking up here at me and you're thinking to yourself, why in the world are you telling me this stuff? We're at camp, we're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to cut up. You're supposed to be teaching us about Jesus and the love that He has for us. No, I need to warn you because I don't want your parents, I don't want you to grow up, and I don't want you to ever receive a phone call like what I received. And if you do, I want you to be prepared. Because my God never left me. He was there with me the entire time. And I want you to have that kind of faith. I want you to be able to stand up to the Satan, the one that invented death, and tell him, you're not dragging me down. That's fearless. Look, I'm no better than any of you. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe with all of my heart that God is always here with us. Death is just part of this world. The tragedies that we all endure is just part of what's going on here. And on the other side of the river, folks, Buster, we ain't got to worry about it. In heaven, there's no funeral homes. Sorry, Kenny Gilly. There's no hospitals. There's no emergency rooms. There's no lifeline. There's none of that. There's no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no cancer. It's all gone. Death is real. And unless the Lord comes back, I hate to say this, but we all someday will face it. I stand before you tonight and I'm not going to jump out in front of a semi-truck or anything. But if something happened to me tonight, I truly, truly believe with all of my heart and know where I'd go. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself, well, you sure are cocky. Now, I want to share with you what Paul wrote to his friend Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It says, for God has given us a spirit of fear, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and watch this, and of love, and of a sound mind. God doesn't want to scare you into submission. God wants to love you into submission. I'm not trying to scare you. I don't believe in scare tactics, okay? I don't believe in scare tactics to cause people to respond to the gospel. That's not why I'm sharing this with you. Why I'm sharing this with you is because I love you. And I love your soul. And your soul means more to me. If it makes some of you mad that I'm doing this, that's okay because I love your soul. I love your children that you've allowed us to have this week. I love their souls. They're precious. And that's why I'm sharing this message with you tonight, because we don't need to be afraid. Go ahead. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? You know, the most common answer for that is when you ask somebody that, are you going to heaven? They say, I hope so. I can't stand that. Brother Al, that just drives me up the wall when someone says, I hope so. Open up your Bible to John chapter 5. Let me show you some amazing power. Let's let God speak to us. Verse number 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has, watch this, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? You may what? You may know. It doesn't say you may hope so. No, God says that you may know you have eternal life. God tells us that we can know whether or not we're going to heaven. We don't have to go through life second guessing. And you're talking about having a relief off your shoulders. If you're sitting here tonight and you don't know whether you're saved or not, you've got a huge burden on your back. I'm saved. I'm not arrogant. I'm not cocky. I'm saved. I can lay my head down at night, put my pretty little head on that pillow and get my beauty sleep and not have to worry about anything because I'm saved. If you're not, or if you don't know whether you are or not, you're carrying a huge burden around with you. I usually, Justin, I'm a three-point preacher. That's scriptural, right? Okay. I'm a three-point preacher. I've got 1 point. And I'm almost done too, by the way, so don't have to worry. I've got 1 point, one thing. I tell New Hope people all the time, I know that you only catch 10% of what I say, okay? So if you haven't heard anything or if you've heard everything and you haven't caught anything, here's your 10% that I want you to carry home with you, okay? It's very simple, and it's 1 point, and it is this. God loves you. That's it. God loves you. I want you to look with me in this passage here. Romans chapter 5. Turn with me there real quickly. We're going to look at a couple passages in Romans and then the lesson is yours. Romans chapter 5 verses 6 through 11. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare die. But God demonstrates His love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But watch this, I love this, much more than having now been justified. Having been justified, just as if I've never sinned, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciliation is when you come back together. If you're having an argument with your friend at school, and you come back together and you work things out, that's reconciliation. See, we've been reconciled through Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you are familiar with that passage of Scripture in John chapter 3, verse number 16? You're familiar with it, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? I mean, we've memorized that passage of Scripture. We know it front to back, upside down, backwards, forwards. But let's personalize it real quickly tonight. And when I stop, instead of saying, for God so loved the world, when I stop and when I point at you, I want you to say your name out loud. Okay? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you do that? Everybody knows their name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For God so loved Ralph. Oh, come on. Okay. All right. Y'all don't know your names. For God so loved Ralph that He gave His only begotten Son. And if Ralph will only believe in Him, he shall not perish, but Ralph can have everlasting life. See, that's a beautiful passage of Scripture. And that's making it personal. When we say, for God so loved the world, that just kind of just covers everybody. Real quickly, Romans chapter 8. Now, my wife is here somewhere with my granddaughter. I don't know where she is, but I've already told her this, and I'm going to tell all of you, because I don't know how many people are in here, but there's a bunch of people. When I die, I want this passage of Scripture read at my funeral. My wife knows this. It's written in her Bible. But if she doesn't have it done, do something to her. Okay? This is my favorite passage of Scripture in the entire Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? See, all those things bring fear. We are fearless or are supposed to be fearless. But Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall these things? Verse 36, he says, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, watch this. In all these things, church, we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither, watch this, pay attention, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, watch this, watch what Paul does, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of dying. We don't have to be afraid of hell. We don't have to be afraid of Satan. We have to be aware of Him, but we don't have to be afraid of Him. We don't have to be afraid of the problems that we're facing right now. We don't have to be afraid of the physical condition that our body is in right now. There's nothing that you nor I have to fear tonight, because nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you are a Christian tonight, what motivated you to become one? Is it fear? Was it the love of God? See, if you're tired of walking around on eggshells and wondering when the other shoe's going to fall, if you're tired of facing whatever problem you're facing right now, if you're tired of going to bed and wondering whether or not I'm saved or not, do something about it tonight. Do something about it. Maybe you're not ready to make that decision. We've said this all week long, campers. David, myself, Justin, Buster, all these other counselors, Stephen, so many other counselors, Al sitting there, so many other counselors are here, and we want to talk to you. Don't be afraid. Because God loves you. Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse number 15, if you fear me, no, that's not what he said. He said, if you love me, then you just, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My question to you tonight is, do you love the Lord? Are you ready tonight to make that decision? The decisions that you make this very day will affect you for an eternity. I hope and I pray that God will guide you to make the right decisions. We're going to sing a song of encouragement now. And if there's anyone here tonight who needs to respond, who wants to put on Christ in baptism, by confessing your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord, and realizing that you need a Savior, and then being buried in a watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then at that time, the Lord will add you to His church. You're saved. Something happened to you. Jesus has prepared a mansion for you. Go back and read John 14. But maybe you're here and maybe God's Word, something has pricked your heart and caused you to realize, I'm not serving Him as I should. I know I'm not. I'm not doing the things that I should be doing. And I want to do better. I'm weak and I want to be strong again. I'm afraid and I don't want to have that fear in me anymore. I love you. More importantly than that, God loves you. And love, perfect love, casts out all fear. The choice is yours as we stand and sing.